Welcome back to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that's guaranteed to make your day a little brighter. With me today, as always, is the one and only New York Times and internationally best-selling author, Kerry Jones.
And with me is Sean Farrar, husband
extraordinaire,
former cop, former Floridian, and current Mainer and business owner. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is the podcast that gives you writing tips, life tips. It's adorably quirky, and we always start with a random thought.
You know, I just want to say, we are not responsible for anything caused by you paying attention to any of our life tips, even though they're all diamonds.
Diamonds.
Or diamonds in a rough. Stop talking
now. Random thought time in the truck.
What are you talking about, Farrar?
Why are you gonna make fun of me twice in one sentence?
What are you talking about? How would I be making fun of you?
Because you said, what are you talking about? That's number one. And number two, Farrar.
That's fun to say. Farrar.
All right, Jonas.
I didn't call you Ferrari, which I did when we were leaving Rotary today.
I didn't hear you.
In front of poor Sharon, because she had to hear me say it. But I guess calling you Ferrari in public is better than calling you Shawnee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most
definitely. Is there, like, a hierarchy of things I shouldn't call you in public?
No, that's, like, the only one.
Shawnee?
Yeah.
But that's you. You're Shawnee.
I know, but, you know, I don't know. The IE just gives it a little bit of a less than a masculine effect.
No, you're supposed to be so cool with your masculinity, like, so secure that, like, you're fine if someone makes it into diminutive. Did my speech pattern just sound like Gina on Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah, kinda. But you gotta work on the bitchy aspect.
No.
The speech pattern did, but the tone was too nice. Yeah. You're an interesting combination of Gina and Boyle, I gotta say.
I am not Boyle! So, in our family, everyone seems to think that I'm Boyle on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is not true, because I'm not obsessed with shampooing people's hair. I'm not a man.
That would be a heck of a date, though, if you wanted to shampoo my hair.
And he is not asexual, but he is somewhat obsessed with food and can be pretentious and is very supportive of his friends, so I get that.
Yeah, he's not asexual because he's portraying, like, you know, kind of a nerdy dude, so...
No, he's but the totally fact of the matter focused is, on it, man.
I mean, and,
he talks about it too much. So, anyway...
My family
members seem to think that I'm Boyle. I don't think I am Boyle.
Why, did they really say that too?
Yes. I actually think I'm Amy because I'm insecure and a people pleaser and I want the people in authority to love me. Or I'm Terry without working out.
God.
What?
But apparently, only the emotional side.
I'm the emotional side of Terry.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole working out thing, not me. And apparently, I feel like I honestly might be the most like Gina. Although, that seems wrong. But the thing is that Gina, her brain is all over the place.
Uh-huh. And that's the beauty of it.
And we have a really similar speech pattern, only I'm not mean. So I don't know. I don't feel like I fit very well. Sean just thinks he's a captain because...
For many reasons, but...
For many reasons. He's large.
He's stoic. But there's a lot of non-reasons, too.
Like what? Why do you think you're the captain?
No, I meant not. Never mind.
Oh, well, you're not like him.
Yeah.
But why are you like him, buddy? We're going to have to end this because we're in that... Hannaford grocery store parking lot. No, I want to know why. I want to know why. Tell us.
Because of our little squad, I'm a great leader. And I'm large.
You are large.
Sometimes I have a really stoic sense of humor.
Are you even in the parking lot? Because look how much more out you are than that car.
It's Because this is a truck. All right.
Don't you think you need to pull in a little more?
No, I know.
Really? All right, I'll trust you.
All right. Did you stop that recording?
No, not yet.
She's trusting me, folks. Just remember she said that.
Until the truck is hit in the back end.
Okay, random thought time, because Sean is giving me a hard time. Because, all right, let me recap. I'm recapping the conversation. So he's like, hey, baby, guess what I got you? And I'm like, what? And he's like, when I was at the grocery store, I got you ice cream. I was like, oh my gosh, you're the best man ever. And he was like, I just got it for you in case you felt like it later tonight. And I'm like, yay. And then he revealed the truth.
That is the truth.
No. The truth is, he's like, because then he goes, because you only, like, you know, take five or six bites. What part did I skip?
You skipped the real important one.
Your captain is interrupting.
I said, even if you don't want any, I'm going to eat it anyways.
And I was like, what? And then, captain, I'm going to eat it anyways, even though I got it for you. Goes, you only eat five or six bites and then you're done, so it's all for me anyway.
That's not what I said.
That was what you meant.
I said, you eat four or five bites and then you bail on me, like leaving me to complete the mission by myself.
There is no mission to eat an entire thing of ice cream.
It's Ben and Jerry's. That's why they package it that way.
No, dude. If you look at the serving size, it is not a single serve. Go get the ice cream.
I'm surprised they don't just put plastic on the top so you can just tear it off.
Oh, my God.
You don't even need a top that goes back on.
Dude, there are multiple servings in there. Multiple servings. In a Ben and Jerry's ice cream little
thing. It's all relative. Who decides what the serving is?
The United States government.
Some skinny old freaking little scientist?
Yes,
or the robust skinny little healthy man.
A skinny little scientist.
Yeah, well, he's wrong.
Who's part of the United States government determines what the serving size is.
Oh, and you expect me to trust the Food and Drug Administration to put out good information.
Currently, I think they're on furlough, but that's happened prior.
Well, when they come back, they should check into that serving size thing again.
Dude, you're not a scientist. You are many beautiful things, but you're not a scientist.
I know, I have a big problem with science, and that's a good example of it right there.
No,
yes it is.
Alright, it's really hard living with a non-nerd sometimes.
A what?
Nothing.
Did you call me a non-nerd?
What? Yes.
You can't just say random crap. Serving of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Look, even if that whole container surpasses every Food and Drug Administration, like vitamin and mineral daily allotment times four, it doesn't matter. You're just extra nutrient.
Extra nutrient? You're so weird.
What? You're not the... Writing tip of the pod.
So this podcast is called Emotional Support Alligators and You, with a little Brooklyn Nine-Nine thrown in. And the reason why that's what it's about is because there's a 65-year-old man, Henry, who lives near Philadelphia, who has depression. And he didn't want to take his medicine, but he noticed that he was happier whenever he was near his alligator, Wally. I don't know why he has an alligator.
That's what I'm thinking.
But yeah, this guy in Philadelphia has an alligator named Wally. And if you can get past that, you can maybe be okay with the rest of the story, because a doctor agreed to register Wally as an emotional support animal. And Henry now walks Wally around the neighborhood, but hopefully not during winter and stuff, because I don't... Alligators...
Does he put him on a leash?
Yeah, man. Put some on a leash.
That's cool, I guess, but...
All right. Never mind. Yeah, so Wally the alligator hugs, allegedly.
Yeah.
He likes to eat a lot of chicken wings, but he doesn't eat cats or goldfish. So basically, he's Sean, who's also from Florida. But as far as we know, Sean is still a mammal. So Sean may not fit into the Brooklyn Nine-Nine perfectly.
No.
But dang it,
You and Wally the alligator. You are one. This week, we've been thinking a lot about the lenses in which we view things and stories, like Wally the alligator, because, you know, Sean's just like, how does he, put a leash on him? And I'm like, isn't the alligator cold near Philadelphia? And some people are like, this is an amazing thing. And some people are like, this is a horrible thing. And those are the lenses in which we're looking at things. But in a helpful way, lenses help us process stuff, and not necessarily alligators as service animals, but how our lives and how certain times in our lives might not be awesome. You know, like those times when we're overwhelmed with emotion and negativity, like we've just had a fight or something bad has happened, or you read an angry Facebook post.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Suddenly your face looks so sad, baby.
Well, you were saying those things and I was like, well, we don't fight.
Oh, all right. So these lenses, there's these three lenses that we can look at situations and they can make things better for us, so we're not overwhelmed by those intense negative emotions.
Those three lenses are the long lens, the reverse lens, and the wide lens. So let's say I just got yelled at by my boss. That'd be Carrie. When I look back at our discussion, which was heated, I can use these lenses to have a better understanding of what happened and also to figure out how to move forward. When I use the reverse lens, I look at everything my boss said from their point of view.
That's right.
I think about why they said what they said, what their wants, motivation, and backstory is. Why did they say those things? Why were they... What were they feeling? They're still wrong. That sometimes can give you compassion about it, though. When I use the long lens, I think about those annoying things they said, and I ask myself, am I still going to be annoyed about this in 6 months? 2 months? 2 hours? Is this really important? I say yes. To all the above.
I usually think, is someone going to jail or dying because of this? When I'm upset about something and I'm trying to put it in the long lens, and then I chill out.
She does. She uses that analogy a lot.
All the time.
The point is to decrease the intensity of those negative feelings that are overwhelming you right after the conversation. It's like controlling your emotions?
Yeah, kind of.
This brings us to the wide lens. The wide lens still focuses on you, but it puts the incident into the bigger context of your life. Yeah, your boss sucked, but everyone in your life, hopefully, doesn't suck. Look at how much bigger your life is than just this one single experience. How many other people were cool with you today?
People?
This week. Maybe your boss is just a schmuck.
Oh.
But that's on them, not you.
I'm not a schmuck.
When bad things happen, we often make that one bad event, no matter how small, into this massive chapter in our life story, falling into the trap of self-doubt and low self-worth. But the thing is, most of the time that one bad event is just someone else being a buttface. It doesn't deserve. I was gonna say butterface, actually, but it doesn't deserve to be a chapter in your story. It's not even that good. It shouldn't become the myth of your life. Every event has multiple interpretations that can be seen through so many lenses.
Interpretations are subjective, so pick the interpretation you want for the incidents in your life. Pick those incidents apart and choose them. The same way we do when we build stories for the character in our novel, right?
Sure.
Like, and so, gelled down, writing tip of the pod, is don't be afraid to write weird, quirky books with weird, quirky characters, because damn it, life is weird. People have alligator support.
Animals.
Yeah.
Reptiles.
And think about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, the characters are so defined and quirky. Gully defined, yet everyone's like, you're Boyle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of the quirk, and don't be afraid to view situations through different lenses so you can really understand them from all angles, especially when you're writing a book. Right, man?
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah?
I think it's of utmost importance when you're writing a book.
Yeah, man. But, you know, we want to be happy when we're not writing, too.
Of course.
Yeah. The end.
Dog tip for life. Party's laying right at my feet.
He
came in here and laid down the very second I mentioned the word alligator way back then.
His little tail's wagging.
I don't even know who said it. Yeah, now his tail's wagging.
He's a southern dog.
What? His tip was very straight and to the point. Oh, there he is now.
Yay.
You hear him tip-tapping.
He's all excited because we said his name.
He said dogs are better than alligators.
That's his tip. Dogs are better than alligators, right, buddy? Right? Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to climb up on our legs.
Alligators can survive freezing temperatures, whereas a dog can't.
No, I know. And
hey, get that off.
But the good thing about dogs is they can eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And they don't care about serving size.
Who do you think can eat one faster, me or Sparty?
Oh.
I think it's me, Sparty.
I don't know. But he looks so hopeful just because you're talking about it.
Yeah. It's never going to happen, dog. Never.
But our dog tip is dogs are better than alligators.
Especially when it comes to service animals.
They get to still go on the airlines. Alligators don't. Mm. And what else, man? Dogs don't care about serving sizes.
No, they don't. Neither do alligators.
They just they just eat and enjoy the situation while they live in it.
That's right.
The
Which
end.
Is what we should all do.
Yay, us.
I wish you could have just heard what she said.
No.
Anyways, thanks for listening to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. This is like one of the most bestest things I do every week.
Oh, that's so sad, buddy.
It's not sad. I love doing this. It makes me so happy.
So please like and subscribe on pretty much all the platforms there are, right?
Yeah.
And you can visit my webpage, carriejonesbooks.blog, for extra tips. A special shout out to Broke for Free and what's the name of the song, man?
I don't know, love. I really don't know.
Man. Broke for Free by Something Owl, right?
Something Owl?
Yeah. And
which is probably not exactly Something Owl. So don't go look up Something Owl.
But thanks to them, we have music clips for our podcast. And the real thank you is in those words with the podcast itself. And
what?
What are you trying to tell me?
I didn't know if you were going to say anything.
Oh, I have a Patreon, and it's starting on February 1st, and you can go hang out and listen to me read a story that's not published yet, chapter by chapter, and get art things if you're a bigger subscriber, and I'll even writing coach you. Writing coach you?
Writing coach
you. Now, man.
What starts on the first, though?
I'm going to start reading the chapters for my really cool YA.
Oh, okay, because the site's live now, right?
It's live now, but it's going to start being populated on Friday.
Gotcha.
February 1st.
Sweet!
Yeehaw!
Good job, baby.
Thank you. Good job, baby you. Mwah.